with the grace of Lord and Pujya Gurudev and blessings of Pujya Guruji and Swami Saranananji, we are going to start the study of Tattva Bodh. It is a text by Shankaracharya which gives the definitions of all the terms which we are going to get in our scriptures, in Bhagavad Gita, in Upanishad, or in Brahma Sutra. So the definitions we have to learn first, and the same definition will continue throughout our study. So this is very important text. And please open your last page of this Tattva Bodha. And we will see the last two sentences. What is the fruit of study of this Tattva Bodha? So unless we come to know the fruits, kya milega padke, batao then. So I must tell you the fruit first. So Guruji writes the fruits in the last two sentences. Even though it is a Prakaran Grantha meant for the beginner, if a sincere seeker reflects and meditates on its words, he would get established in his own self. It also helps the study of other Vedantic texts. May all be benefited by it. So if you are Uttam Adhikari, you may get realized even by studying this Tattva Bodha. This is said by our Pujya Guruji. And really, if somebody reflects, he will be definitely. Nothing else needed to be studied. Tattva Bodha itself is sufficient. What is goal of life? Different people have got different goals. Somebody wants to be professional, somebody wants to be politician, somebody wants to be businessman, somebody wants to be don, underworld, king. One Mahatma says, in schools what you get in grades. So A grade students become professionals, doctors, engineers, and they become scientists. B grade people become businessmen. And they employ A grade students. What happens to the C grade? They become politicians and they control businessmen and the A grade students. What happens to D grade? They become don, underworld. They control politician, businessman, and the A-grade student. So don't underestimate. Each person has got his own goal. So different goals we have. But what is the aim behind all? Each and every person, all being, want happiness. That's all. That is the ultimate goal. When did this desire for happiness begin? Kab se ye desire shuru hua, I want to be happy. Beginningless time. Started from the beginningless time. Although we are born as Sachidananda, but we all have experienced dukkha, sorrow. Not knowing our true nature, we are experiencing this dukkha. Hence we seek happiness. We are searching for happiness from time immemorial. Beginningless time I am trying to find out the source of happiness. But till today, we are not successful. We don't know the exact source of our happiness. Gurudev used to give one example. A Seth ji was traveling from Delhi to Madras. And next to him was seated, or in the in front of his seat was a thief, a chore also traveling in the same compartment, in the same coupe. And chore knew that Sethji has got money. And what Sethji used to do, he, before going to the sleep, he used to take out his purse, count his money in front of chore and keep it again in the pocket. Then he will go to the toilet, come back. Similarly, chore also, you have to go to toilet and come back. And Sethji used to go to sleep peacefully. And chore, the thief, he was not able to sleep. He was trying to find out where Sethji has kept his purse. Whole night he searched, he could not find it. Again next morning, both went to the toilet. Sethji went to the toilet, the thief also went to the toilet. Again Sethji counted, took out his purse, counted his money, everything was intact. And chor was wondering, I searched everywhere, I am not finding where Sethji is keeping. And Sethji again kept it in the pocket of the purse. Second night, is 2 night journey from Delhi to Madras. Second night again, same thing happened. Before sleep, Sethji again counted money, went to the toilet, came back. Again the thief also went to the toilet, came back, pretended to be sleeping. But where is the sleep? He is seeing the money is there with the Sethji, he is just in front of me, but he is not finding. All night he searched, he didn't find. Next day morning he surrendered to Sethji. Well, I am a thief, and every 2 nights I am seeing that you are counting the money and you are keeping it safely, your money is intact, and I am trying to find out your purse, I am not finding. Sethji said, each night I kept that purse under your pillow. Same is our case. That happiness is with us, and we are searching outside. Happiness is within. Happiness is me, but I am searching it outside. All throughout life I am searching. What are our natural desires? Third question. Our natural desires are that we want to be free from responsibility. We want sukh. We want to be great. We want to be secured. We want knowledge, because we know knowledge is power. These are our demand list. These things we desire. And we don't want to die. Even if you ask a person on the deathbed, do you want to die? He will say no. Ravan also didn't want to die. Good. What is the nature of this happiness? The happiness can be divided into two, temporary and permanent. Throughout our life, we have got the temporary happiness only. From where? From the world. Why it is temporary? Because the object, persons and being through which we get this happiness, they are temporary. Everything in the world is temporary. How can it give me permanent sukh? It can never give. So all things, beings and the objects of the world can never give me permanent happiness, because they themselves are impermanent. And for this, for getting this temporary happiness, what we have to do? We have to put in effort. Number one, Number two, it gives me only limited sukh. Number three, its quality differs from persons to person, object to object. Quality of sukh also differs. Quantity of sukh also differs. Degree of sukh also differs. But still, we are searching sukh outside. Thousand times we have experienced, but still we are running outside for sukh. But there is a permanent sukh that is also available. What is this permanent sukh? You can get it without effort. Empirical world sukh, you have to put in effort. This permanent sukh you can get without effort. It is available all time, sarvada. 24 into 7 into number of years you live. Sarvada. It is available sarvatra. You don't have to change your place, your country, nothing you have to change. Without effort you will get, sarvada you will get, sarvatra you will get. It is independent, swatantra. You don't have to depend on the objects of the world. Without objects of the world also you will be happy. In the jagatik sukh, we have to be dependent on object, persons and beings. We think this person, the being or this object gives me happiness. Effortless, sarvada, sarvatra, swatantra, independent, not dependent on any object. And it is chetan. You can experience it, you can realize it, that it is chetan. It is not inert sukh, it is chetan sukh. Now tell me, do you want temporary sukh or permanent sukh? For temporary sukh, whole life you have tried, you have put in effort. It is not always available. It is dependent on objects or beings or person of the world. And it is inert. It is limited in time. Chahiye? Then you have to come every day. It is available. Why at all we have a desire for sukh? Everything tends to go towards its nature. That is general law. Take a lump of earth, throw it up, it will come down to earth. Take water from the sea, put it on the top of the mountain, it will slowly flow down to sea again, going back to its nature. Fire, the flames will go up. They want to try to reach sun, its nature. Put air in compressed cylinder, release it. It merges into atmospheric air. Condition the space. We have conditioned this space. This is we call shrine. Because we have four walls here and we call it shrine. Break the wall, this shrine space becomes whole space. So everything tends to go towards its nature. So our nature is Sukh Swarup because we are Sachidananda. That is why we have got the urge for the Sukh. And the sorrow is burden to us. In Sukh, we are very happy because that is our nature. But the sorrow is burden. Nature of the snake or the scorpion is to bite and give you poison. That is their nature. That poison is not burden on them. But that poison is burden on me. So it depends on the nature. What is the cause of the sorrow? The cause of the sorrow is ignorance. Ignorance about our own true nature. We don't know what is our true nature. That is the cause of the sorrow. We think I am this body. And this body is made of Trigun, which we are studying in chapter 14. And all things made of Trigun are changing and perishable. It will give me dukkha. It will certainly give me dukkha. Because of my identification with the Trigun, we are suffering. But if we come to know our true nature of the self, our own self, when we come to know, I am Atma Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi, then what will happen? There will be atyantik dukh nibritti and atyantik sukh prapti. Why so? Simple. Who is giving me sorrow? In chapter 14, the last session I explained, the whole sorrow is coming from the Prakriti. In BMI chart, your Vasana, BMI, PFT, OET is all Prakriti. In chapter 14 chart also I explained, with Satya, Rajas and Tamas Guna, we got this Bhoga Ayatanam, Bhoga Sadhanam, and Bhog Vastu and Bhogya Lok. 14 lokas are also made of Satya, Rajas, Tamas Guna. This body, this individual body is also made of Satya, Rajas, Tamas Guna, Prakriti. Whole world is also made of Satya, Rajas and Tamas. And it was also shown that this Prakriti is Karta, not me. We think Aham Karta Iti Aham Kara, we think I am the doer. But we proved in our that session that Prakriti is the doer. And there are only two things, Prakriti and Purush. Purush means Atman or Brahman. So all sorrows are coming from the Prakriti. Why sorrows are coming from the Prakriti? Because it is changing and perishable. It is its nature. We are interacting with the world without knowing the nature of the world, and we don't know our true nature also. We are ignorant of both. So there will be atyantik dukh nibritti, because when I disassociate with the Prakriti, the source of sorrow ends. And when I associate with my own true self, which is Sachidananda, so we get atyantik sukh. So atyantik dukh nibritti, because I disassociated with the Prakriti, and atyantik sukh prapti, because I got associated with the Atman now. So this is guaranteed. If you come to know your true nature, atyantik dukh nibritti, there will not be any sorrow of the world. And atyantik sukh prapti, you will get atyantik sukh, that is bliss. Let us analyze the life. There are only two things, experiencer and experienced objects of the world. And in Kindle life we have already seen that the objects of the world contains no joy content. Very simple reason behind it. To prove that the objects of the world has got no pleasure, Gurudev has written two principles you can apply on it. Number one, if the objects of the world has got happiness and if it can be measured in units, then each time we consume that object, we should get that much of happiness again and again, again and again. And the example given by, I always give Rasagulla. If the Rasagulla, if we can measure the happiness in Rasagulla is 2 units, so the first Rasagulla give me 2 units of joy, the 50th Rasagulla gives me sorrow. Therefore, Gurudev says, there is no joy in the Rasagulla. Okay. If really Rasagulla has got the happiness, then it should give happiness to each and every person. It has to give, because it's the nature of Rasagulla to give you happiness. But that also is not true. Many people don't like it. So that proves that the Rasagulla does not have any happiness. If Rasagulla does not have happiness, so there in the process, there are 3 things. Rasagulla is there, and the experience is here, and the process of experiencing with the spoon, I am taking that Rasagulla and having it. I have proved in the Rasagulla there is no happiness. Now I have to prove that in the process also there is no happiness. Can the spoon give me happiness? No. Apply the law of remainder. Law of remainder means, if there is no sukh in the object, if there is no sukh in the process, and I am experiencing sukh, that means sukh is with me. So simple. So we should search happiness within. Achha, can you prove it? Can you give another example? Yes. Every night we go into the deep sleep, susupti. And when in the morning we get up, we say, sukh purvak soya. I was very happy. Ab batao, what object was there in deep sleep with you? You were experiencing bliss at that time. You were very close to Atman. And somebody recorded also at that time in the deep sleep that you are experiencing the bliss, so that you can remember early morning when you get up, you say, yes, I experienced that sukh. Rememberer and experiencer has to be one person. If you are remembering early morning that you slept well, you experienced sukh, that means during the deep sleep somebody has recorded you have experienced it. But because of the tamogun, you could not enjoy it during that period of sleep. But early morning, when you get up, you say you experienced it. Ab batao, can you be happy without object of the world or not? You can be happy. Now the questions come, how do I get this permanent sukh? So again, scripture says there are 2 things. One is the apraptasya prapti, a thing which you don't have, you want to get. Number one. Number two, praptasya prapti, a thing which you have already got. Apraptasya prapti means you want any object of the world, you have to go and get it. But praptasya prapti, the thing which you already have got, what you have to do for that? You need only knowledge that you have got. That's all. No action is needed. Nothing is to be done. No puja of the Lord is needed. What is needed? Only the knowledge that you have got. Example given by again Shankaracharya in Atmabodh. Swakanthabharanam yatha. Mahatma has explained this very beautifully. Suppose most of the ladies are here. Suppose your husband has given you gold necklace when on the first wedding anniversary. After that, he never gave you in second, third, fourth anniversary. Are you getting him?
First also nothing.
Now you must claim, because Shankaracharya has given this example. And somehow you are thinking that you have lost that kanthavaran, that chain, that necklace. You are searching throughout the day. You have checked all cupboards, all drawers, everything, every nook and corner, not available. In the evening, when husband comes and sees your face, you have not taken lunch also. You are worried. Then you tell him that the one necklace which you gave on the first anniversary, I don't know where it is lost. And the husband says, it is with you, it is here. Now to get back that necklace, batao kya kaam karna padta hai? You have to do nothing, no action is needed. What was required? Somebody told you it is here in your neck. Only knowledge was required. Similarly, for the Atman, to find our Atman, Guru and scripture will tell you, it is with you. You don't have to get it from anywhere else. So this Atman is praptasya prapti. You have already got it. But you are ignorant about it. Scripture and Guru will tell you where to find it, what is its address, what is the means, how you can reach there. Scripture will tell you about that. The means of knowledge are six, which we have already discussed in our Sadhana Panchakam class. That is Pratyaksha Praman. Praman means means. Pratyaksha Praman. That I am seeing this glass. This is Pratyaksha Praman. Then next is Anuman Praman. Inference. Anuman. I am seeing smoke on the top of the hill. Anuman says, inference says, there must be a fire. Because I know the relationship between fire and the smoke. Now I am not seeing fire, I am seeing only the smoke. So I can say by Anuman Praman that the fire is there. Upaman, by simile. I saw an animal which looks like a cow. So I will come home and say, I saw an animal which looks like a cow. That is Upaman Praman. Arthapatti. Arthapatti means? Early morning when I get up and I saw the whole driveway was full of snow. At that time it was not snowing. Then the inference will be, in the night it has snowed. So what is the difference between Arthapatti and Anuman Praman? In Anuman Praman, the two things have to be together, fire and smoke. In Arthapatti, I see the snow only. It's no more snowing now. Both things are not happening together. So that is the difference between Arthapatti and Anuman. And Anupalabdhi, if I go and tell you, go and find out the Tattva Bodh in the bookstore, you go there and at the specific place, the book is not there. Anupalabdhi, you will say it's not there. And the last is the Sabda Praman. Sabda Praman means the Vedas are the Praman. So for this, the knowledge of the self, Vedas, Ved are the proof. And what is Ved? It is Sabda Praman. It is said, the only written, it's words. So these are the six type of praman, and for getting this atma we have to employ sabda praman. Sabda praman is shastra. What is a shastra? Shastra has to cover six topics: jiva, jagat, ishwar, dharma and the means and brahma. Jiva, jagat, ishwar, brahma, dharma and means. Six topics, if it covers any text, we call it shastra. Gita is a shastra, Upanishad are shastra, Brahma Sutra is a shastra, we call it prasthantrayi. Prasthantrayi means, if you study these scriptures, then you will start, prasthan means you will depart from the earth, you will startly move toward the Lord. If you study this, that is why it is called prasthan trayi. Trayi means three. Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad and Brahma Sutra are called prasthan trayi shastra. They cover all six topics. If any text which does not cover six topics, we call it prakaran granth, elementary book. Tattva Bodhi is an elementary book. It does not cover all six topics. Chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita is a shastra, it covers all six topics. When we come to chapter 15, I will show you that it covers. Now, truth can be of three types. First is pratibhasik satya, apparent reality. What is this apparent reality? I saw a seashell, it was shining, I thought it is a silver. Pratibhasik, apparent, it's not real. You cannot trade that silver in the market. You cannot take out silver from the seashell and sell it in the market, can you? No. Pratibhasik satya, apparent reality. Then empirical satya, vyavaharik satya. Vyavaharik satya, you can trade. Silver is available in the market, you can buy or you can sell. You can trade. That is called vyavaharik satya. Similarly, things of the waking world or the things of the dream world, can you use it in the waking world? No. Can you use the waking world things in the dream world? That also you can't do. Similarly, when you come to realize the Atman, these worldly things are no more of no use. And then the last is the Paramarthik Satya, absolute truth. That is Tattva. And the name of the book is also Tattva Bodha. We have to know that Tattva. Knowing Paramarthik Satya means what? Knowing Paramarthik Satya means Jeev Brahma Aikya. Jeev is Brahma. This knowledge we will get in this. And in chapter 13 already we have seen the Lord had said, Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi. I am that Kshetragya. There are only two things: Kshetra, field, the Prakriti, and Kshetragya, the knower of the field. The Lord clearly says, Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi. I am that Kshetragya. There is no jeev. That jeev itself is Brahma. So jeev and Brahma ekya is the knowing of the truth. Now we enter into the Mangalacharan. At least we must start today. So we'll chant the Mangalacharan first. Vasudevar Yogindram Vasudevendra Yogindram Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum Mumuchu Nam Hitarthaya Tattva Bodho Vidiyate
Tattva Bodho Vidiyate
Together Vasudevendra Yogindram Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum Mumuchu Nam Hitarthaya Tattva Bodho Vidiyate. Why Mangalacharan at all? Mangalacharan means Mangal Acharan. What is Mangal? What is auspicious? Well, a lot is auspicious. Acharan means prayer. Mangalacharan means prayer to the Lord. So before we start any Shastra discussion or we write any Shastra, we pray to the Lord. Why prayer? Two things will happen. First thing, you will be energized. Number two, all obstacles will be removed. First thing, you will be cheerful, you will be energized because you are praying to the Lord. And second thing, all obstacles will be removed by the Lord. And what are the sources of your obstacles? Adi Devik, Adi Bhautik and Adhyatmik. All sorrows can be classified into three. There are only three sources of sorrow. Adi Devik, given by Lord, like flood, famine, earthquake, tsunami. We don't have control on them. Adi Devik. Adi Bhautik, the surrounding people, they disturb you. We have little bit of control on them. We can go and tell them, don't disturb me. Adhyatmik, my own body. So Adi Devi, Adi Bhautik and Adhyatmik. Three sources are there. Of all sorrows can be categorized in these three. Vasudev. Vas means what? Vasu means what? Vasati iti Vasu. One who resides in all hearts, in all beings, is Vasu. He resides in each and every being, Vasu. Dev. Dev means Devta. What is Devta? Dyotanat iti Devta. Dyotanat iti Deva. One which illumines is Devta. So Vasudeva, he is seated in all hearts of all beings, illuminating all equipments. All equipments, my gross body, my subtle body, my Jnanendriya, my Karmendriya. These are illumined by Vasudeva. Vasudeva Yogindram. Yogi, who is yogi? One who is united with the Lord is called yogi. And he, Indra. Indra means king of all devatas. So he is king of all yogis. Vasudevendra Yogindram. Natva. Natva means I prostrate. Gyan Pradam Gurum. Gyan Pradam. He is the bestower of knowledge. Pradam, very good word. Da means dadati, he gives. Pra means prakarsena. He gives you knowledge. Who is that? He is Guru. Guru is the bestower of knowledge and I prostrate to that Guru. Vasudevendra Yogindram Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum. Who is this Guru? The Guru is Mad Anugraha Avatar. How is Avatar? We will see it in our next lecture. Our scripture keeps Guru equated to Avatar. How many types of Avatar are there? We will see it in our next session.
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hare